This Feast of the Ascension has always seemed like kind of an in-between feast. It's between the great celebration of Easter and the great celebration of Pentecost. But Ascension is also a great feast because what it does is basically completes Jesus' role on earth. His life history. He came to us, the Son of God, the divine, becoming human. He's born into our world. He grew up as a kid, just like the rest of us. He learned from his parents. He learned from his teachers. He learned from the rabbis in the synagogue. He learned from all kinds of people, just like we do. But then he came to find his own mission. And his mission was to establish the kingdom of God on earth. So in his public ministry, that's what he did. He gathered some followers around himself, people that he knew that he would learn to know and trust and love, and he would teach them what he wanted them to be the source of for all generations thereafter. So they followed him, and they listened to him, they watched the miracles he worked, the great signs that he worked. They listened to him, tried to learn more, understand more deeply what he was all about. I guess they came to realize in some sense there's something extraordinary about him. Maybe they didn't understand fully the idea that he was God at that point. But eventually they began to understand that there is something very special. And then when he finished his mission on earth, when he suffered and died and rose again, he came back and for 40 days thereafter, he appeared to them constantly, different places, different situations, to reassure them that he really was alive, that this was not some ghost. So he would eat with them, he would talk with them, and he would pray with them, just much as he did before he suffered and died and rose. But so even in this exalted state, this resurrected state, they came to understand that he truly was the Son of God, that he was their friend, that he was their teacher. He was the one they pledged their lives to, that they would follow. And when he felt that when they were prepared, he gave them the mission. You now go into the world and tell all people. That's your mission. And so they chose to accept that. That's the mission of the church. That's who we are. And then when Jesus felt sure that everything was prepared, he went back to heaven. He had completed the cycle that he wanted to complete, beginning as one of us, taking on human nature, although he is the source of human nature. He created all things. Everything was created through him. And then he became a humble person to be like us and live with us, to learn with us, but then to exalt us as he himself is exalted today. So he ascended into heaven. He completed his mission. He went back home, basically. But when he goes home, it's not like it's all over. He said, now, this is the beginning. He said, you wait and pray, and I will send the Spirit upon you. And then you will be my witnesses throughout the world. So he doesn't leave us alone at all. In fact, he empowers us so much that if we really realize what he has left with us, what he gives to us, what he sustains in us, how he works through us, through his Spirit, how his Spirit dwells in each and every one of us, the complete Spirit. It's not a little chunk of the Spirit, but the same Spirit that the apostles received on that first Pentecost. That Spirit is the one who guides and directs us the church. And he gave us this mission to bring the kingdom of God to all of the world. So today, as he ascends into heaven, The Acts of the Apostles says two angels, I guess they were appeared to the apostles and said, why are you looking up at the sky? It's like they didn't want this story to end. Where did he go? How can we possibly follow after him? And Jesus said, your mission is to go into the world. You're not going to accomplish it standing here looking up at the sky, expecting me to come back and do something more about it. I did what I came to do, and now my spirit, who will dwell in each and every one of you, is to take my mission, to take the kingdom of God to all people. You know, sometimes we get the idea that, you know, the fact that we're baptized, that we pray, that we participate in the Mass and try to live a decent life, we think sometimes that that's our mission. It's part of it. But remember, our responsibility is to make that kingdom live in all the world. So we kind of look at our own individual lives and say, how is that supposed to happen? You know, I can't leave my family and go off somewhere to preach or something of that nature. That's not what's expected. But it is expected that we wear the presence of that Spirit within us, that we wear it very proudly, that we're not ashamed of it, that we're not afraid to profess it publicly, that we're not afraid to say to somebody, yes, I believe, I'm a Catholic, and this is what I believe. I believe that I have a very extremely important role that Christ has left to all of us, his church, that we are supposed to be his living presence on earth, that we are supposed to bring his kingdom to all people, to all segments of the world. So it's kind of a reminder of we celebrate the glory of Christ fulfilling his mission on earth, and that he has returned to heaven where he truly lives. But because he left physically does not mean that he has left us spiritually. As a matter of fact, he said, I will send my spirit to dwell in each and every one of you. So how do I allow that spirit to work in me? It takes some effort on our part. It's not like everything is a magic wand that our Lord hits us with, and all of a sudden everything is perfectly clear. He made us in his image and likeness. We have intelligence, we have freedom, we make choices, we learn how to do things. But the way we learn basically about our God is through our prayer. And so what is our prayer like? And I know in people's lives they get very, very busy. But, you know, think sometime, and maybe write down sometime if you're really that type of person who likes to have detail in front of you. Write down sometime how much time you waste on your computer. And then tell me you don't have time to pray. Or tell me how many hours your TV rattles on and you pay absolutely no attention to it, or you sit there in front of it but get absolutely nothing out of it. Tell me how much time you waste on that. And then tell me you don't have time for prayer. Or tell me the endless hours people spend on the phone. If it's work or business, I understand that. If it's renewing friendships or talking to family, that's wonderful. But how much of it is just plain wasted time? Think about that. And we probably go through our whole day, all of our habits, the time that maybe I just do nothing. Sometimes that may be the most profitable time, because that's the time our minds are calm and quiet and we can listen to God. But the way we learn to know what our mission is as the people of God, as the church, as the one who is supposed to proclaim the kingdom of God in this world today, the way we basically will learn to know is by our prayer. But it's not the prayer that we say, oh, God, help me. You know, that's a good prayer. But it's not the kind of prayer that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of prayer where you spend at least 5 minutes. And your whole purpose for that 5 minutes is to be in communion with God. That's your purpose for that 5 minutes. Nothing else in the world counts during that 5 minutes. Sometimes you may have to have something like a scripture reading to kind of prompt you a little bit. Or maybe just something pops into your head that is an inspiration from God. Something about his creation. Something about a person. Something about someone who needs mercy. Someone who needs forgiveness. Someone who needs something to eat. It may be anything like that. But we devote that time strictly to our God. Then we will come to know him. Then we will find the energy and the spirit, allow that spirit to become energized in our lives so that we can do what he calls us to do. Next Sunday, we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. It's an extraordinary feast day, a reminder of what each and every one of us has received. But in preparation of that reminder, we probably all should devote at least a little bit of time in communion with God, in that prayer where God is all that counts, nothing else. I want to think only of God. You're going to be distracted by a million other things. I should have been doing this. I could do this. I need to do that. I forgot to do this. You know, put it aside. 5 minutes, God's time. See if that helps. Helps us prepare to welcome that spirit once again into our lives so that we can do what Christ has asked us to do. Bring his kingdom to all the world.